A publicly funded Christian school in Alberta is being told not to reference certain scripture verses because they might be offensive.
What we're doing here is not necessarily fighting for the right of one school to freely represent its faith worldview. We're fighting for the right of every Canadian to follow their conscience and to worship as they please. And we believe that if the government is successful in restricting the religious rights of this small group and basically prescribing appropriate doctrine to a faith group, it sets a precedent that is to the detriment of every person in Canada.
On the feature today, Phil Hills from the Association of Christian Schools International on a case that's garnering huge attention in Kingman, Alberta. In the news, a recap of the arguments made last week in Ontario's freedom of conscience case for doctors, a reminder to Andrew Scheer about his commitment on private members' bills. Transgender rights are now codified in federal law. A national pro-life education tour coming up this summer, and a look at a new project ARPA has launched to get Bibles into the hands of federal and provincial politicians.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A three-judge panel of the Ontario Superior Court is now weighing the evidence on whether doctors in that province are entitled to conscience protection when it comes to issues such as euthanasia. The College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario has adopted a policy requiring all doctors to at very least make a so-called effective referral for patients who express a desire for doctor-assisted suicide. Lawyer Alberto Spalazagopoulos represented five doctors and several organizations that are trying to have that policy overturned. He says his entire case last week basically turned on two arguments.
Is it necessary to require a referral was number one, and number two, is there a better way? That was the whole case. Is it necessary? If so, is there a better way to achieve the goal of ensuring access?
Spalazagopoulos says while it's always tough to predict how the judges will rule, they certainly seem to understand the arguments he was putting forward.
The judges were engaged. They seemed to understand and appreciate the arguments being made and the positions being advanced. You know, whether they were persuaded is yet to be seen, but in terms of whether they heard us and listened to us, absolutely, I think we got a good hearing.
No word on when a ruling will come down in the case. Federal Conservative leader Andrew Scheer got a reminder last week of his commitment to allow his MPs to bring forward private members' bills on controversial conscience issues like abortion. We Need a Law researcher Anna Nienhuis had a piece published in the National Post. She says it was partly written to drive home the point about those bills, but it also had a broader focus.
A reminder never hurts, absolutely. And the article also really wanted to focus on that there's a shift in the pro-life movement that means that the debate's not going away, regardless of what Scheer wants it to do, maybe. We want the free vote for sure, and then we really are encouraged by his promise of a freer speech environment, both in Parliament and universities and just in general, that he really advocates for that. But it's also that the pro-life movement is more organized, more politically engaged, and getting Canadians more politically engaged as well to make it an issue for voters.
We link to the op-ed from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. The Senate has wrapped up debate on Bill C-16. That's the law that entrenches protection for transgendered people under the Criminal Code and the Canadian Human Rights Act by adding the terms gender identity and gender expression to the list of grounds upon which discrimination would be banned. Supporters say the bill simply means that transgendered people will now have the same human rights protections as everyone else. Opponents, though, are worried that it'll infringe on free speech by specifically mandating that everyone has to use various gender pronouns, irrespective of how they perceive the gender issue. Final Senate vote on the bill was 67-11. The bill is now law. There's a national education tour coming up this summer on pro-life apologetics. It's being put together by the Canadian Centre for Bioethical Reform. The centre's Jonathan Vidmarin.
We've got a tour going on in Alberta West, and we have two going on in Ontario. Our team is kind of splitting up to reach as many people with this presentation as possible. Depending on the different audience, because we're going to be giving training in pro-life apologetics, we're going to be giving presentations on pro-life strategy, but essentially the overriding theme of all of our presentations is taking a look at Canada's 150th birthday, the two legacies pro-lifers have to choose from, asking people the question, what sort of future we want Canada to have, right? Canada's past was pro-life, its present is pro-choice, but what its future is sort of up to us.
We've got a link to the full itinerary for that trip up at the Lighthouse News homepage. And finally, ARPA has launched a new project in recognition of Canada's 150th birthday. The organization is trying to get a Bible into the hands, actually into the offices, of every federal and provincial MP, MLA, MPP, and MNA in the country. That's about 1,200 Bibles. ARPA Board Chair Brian Grimm says the idea came from Executive Director Mark Penninga.
It came about because he was visiting some Alberta MLAs, and he realized that on the shelves in their office, they had a number of books, and among them was books that a local ARPA had given them, God and Government and the Christian Citizenship Guide, both ARPA publications, and they were displayed prominently on the shelves. And we thought, well, what better book to be on the shelf of a politician than the Bible, the Word of God?
You can donate to the project on the ARPA webpage. Back with more after this.
The House of Commons will rise for the summer on Friday, June 23rd, and most MPs will be spending considerable time in their ridings. Take this opportunity to meet with your MP, attend an event that they are hosting or that they will be at, or organize one of your own. Continue to build a relationship with your MP while they are in your riding so that you can continue to engage with them when they return to the work on the Hill this fall.
And we're back on the program. Controversy in Alberta over what can and can't be presented at a Christian school that's operated by a public school board. It's kind of a complicated case, and to explain it to us this week, I've got Phil Hills on the line. Phil is the Executive Regional Director for the Association of Christian Schools International. We've reached him at his office at Edmonton. First of all, Phil, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
The Cornerstone Christian Academy is located in Kingman, Alberta. That's southeast of Edmonton. It falls under the authority of the Battle River School Division in Camrose, but it's also an ACSI school. By way of background, we've got a lot of listeners across the country who don't understand how a school can be both a Christian school and be operated under the auspices of a public school board. First of all, I'd like you to explain that background because it's kind of essential to the story.
Alberta has had a very generous attitude toward education and has really had a strong emphasis on parental choice. And so a number of years ago, one of the strands that developed around this high parental choice value was, why can't we, meaning public systems, embrace faith-based schools into our public systems? And so the way these faith-based schools work is they approach a public school system, they ask if they would consider entering into a relationship with them. And what that means is that the school is subject to the authority of the school board. The school receives full funding in the same way that any public school would. The teachers become part of the union. But the kind of caveat in all of this is that the school itself continue to act as an authority over the curriculum and teaching program of the school, whereby they work to integrate biblical ideas into the provincial curriculum.
So last week, word came out that the Battle River School Board was expressing concern over some of the materials that Cornerstone was using in its curriculum. Specifically, and I'll quote from a news release from John Carpe at the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. He writes, there's a claim that the school board has, quote, ordered Cornerstone Christian Academy to refrain from reading or studying any scripture that could be considered offensive to particular individuals. What's the background there?
In essence, the government of Alberta, a number of years back now, I guess it's two or three, put together a bill. It was actually the Conservatives that passed it. Bill 10, which in essence specified that all schools in Alberta, whether they be Christian or not, Muslim or not, had to accommodate Gay Straight Alliance clubs if the school was given a request by a group of students. So that has been a fairly controversial issue for faith-based schools as they try to negotiate the tension between being true to their faith foundation and also creating an environment in their schools for all students that are safe and that don't involve any bullying or coercion. So that's sort of the beginning of this issue. In addition to that, the Human Rights Code has been adjusted in Alberta, especially to accommodate transgender students. So this public Christian school had a student document, a covenant that determined the behavior of kids in the school and sort of set out the values of the school. It did not explicitly quote scripture, but it referenced in a footnote a couple of scriptures that speak about the kind of lifestyle that people who follow Jesus are to live. And of course, one of them is a lifestyle of sexual abstinence, except in the context of marriage between a man and a woman. And so the concern on the part of the school board was that this statement might be in contravention to the Human Rights Code of Alberta. And so they've been working with the school to change that. The school had actually said, you know, that's okay. We don't mind pulling out that reference if some people find it offensive. But what was lacking was written information from the board as to exactly what they were looking for from the school. And so the parent council said to the school board, please put in writing what you expect of us in this area, because of course it left all kinds of questions about what the school is allowed to teach. And then they gave what everyone considered a bit of a surprising statement, the one that you quoted from John Carpe, which was actually written by the chairman of the board based on legal advice, which is that the school is not permitted to read or teach about anything that might be offensive to an individual. And that was way beyond the scope of the conversation about the student covenant. And so it left the school very confused as to what they were allowed to teach and not teach. And it appeared to put a chill on an educational environment that basically supported biblical values.
The school board held a meeting to talk about this again last Thursday. Lots of parents from Cornerstone showed up. From what I understand, the issues weren't really resolved. The only thing I've seen in the coverage of that meeting is that the chair of the board, Lori Scorry, was complaining the issue had become public at all. She claimed it wasn't about the curriculum, but about those guidelines, that covenant, and the handbook. How do you read that?
Well, that might have been their intent, but unfortunately, in the written information that they passed on to the school, clearly it went way beyond guidelines and covenant, because a statement that you quoted from John was actually a statement that was written to the school from the school board. And it's so broad and all-encompassing that, of course, it incorporates the curriculum. And, of course, the bigger issue is this the beginning of something where increasingly governments are going to be prescribing to faith groups what they can and cannot teach from their doctrine, based on whether those ideas line up with current values about the nature of humanity or acceptable and unacceptable behavior, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because, of course, this sounds a lot like censorship.
Well, the issue with Cornerstone, as I understand it, hasn't really been settled based on the coverage I saw of last Thursday's meeting. No final decisions here, but there's constitutional issues, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Any idea how this is going to play out? A lot of people are saying, ultimately, the whole education piece in Alberta has to be settled in the courts. Is that your take?
Well, maybe, although we have worked really hard over the last 3 years to reach out to the NDP government. You know, we've sent letters. In fact, I know the community at Kingman literally sent thousands of letters from its extended community to the Minister of Education out of concern for the way that the government was moving ideologically in terms of imposing a new set of values on all schools, whether they be faith-based or not. And we really believe that the best way to resolve this is through legislation that basically acknowledges the presence of faith-based schools, that reaffirms the value of parental choice, and that allows us to continue to operate freely. But if all of that lobbying is not effective, then the next stage is, unfortunately, to have to move into the courts. And one thing that people don't understand, and it seems to be the case with this school board, is that they dip their toe into a constitutional pool by, as a government agency, in essence, restricting the religious rights of a group of faith-based people and the school that they have formed. And there's already some pretty good constitutional law that supports our freedom in that area, the most recent ruling being the Loyola case. The thing is, the board has treated this like a provincial issue over human rights, but human rights legislation protects us from each other. It doesn't protect us from government necessarily. It's the Constitution that protects us from the government. And as a government agency, there is definitely a constitutional piece here. And so if necessary, we will have to move it in that direction, because it is our firm conviction that what we're doing here is not necessarily fighting for the right of one school to freely represent its faith worldview. We're fighting for the right of every Canadian to follow their conscience and to worship as they please and to form institutions that the government can't interfere with that represent their values. And we believe that if the government is successful in restricting the religious rights of this small group and basically prescribing appropriate doctrine to a faith group, it sets a precedent that is to the detriment of every person in Canada.
Phil, we'll be watching this one closely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You have a good day.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.